You are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.
I'm Roo, recording for the SRA podcast. Just been to the Being Funny for Money keynote with Ben, Dave and Rod. How are
I
you?
Didn't realise it was called Being Funny for Money.
No. Well, because you said
very early doors, I said there's no money in this.
Yeah, you warned us all off it.
But yeah, yeah.
There was a lot of talk of panic, chaos, and shitty pipes, funnily enough.
Yeah, I said the word shitty pipe
too many times.
10 times too many than I was planning on.
Yeah, but the main sort of theme was that to be funny on the radio, you've got to be passionate about radio, and you've got to find it fun. So how do you, in a studio by yourself, not worry that you aren't funny?
Well, I'm not by myself, I guess. That's the key thing. Certainly if you're talking to me, it changes almost every week, but I have a co-host, and that is massively important for me, somebody to bounce off, so that my show is chaotic and panicked and see to your pants stuff, but you have somebody else there. And if you've got somebody else there, then almost nothing can go wrong, I think.
And if you planned things, that energy would go.
I can't be bothered to plan things. There's not enough money in it, radio, to plan it. But it's not so much that. I prefer winging it. I prefer going to the seat of my pants. I prefer sticking a microphone on and not knowing what's going to come out of your mouth, I think, gives you an urgency and puts you in a place where your brain goes funny. That's what I think.
But do you think, because your brain goes funny, because you're a funny guy, but would there be other presenters who would just be crap in that situation? That's what I was thinking when you were talking about it. I was saying, well, you'll be fine because you're one of the best stand-ups in the UK, but not everyone is.
You're very kind. Take all these things on the chin. Well, I don't know. You can only ask for yourself, can't you, on radio? You know, I imagine some people like to go in there with everything buttoned down and scripted, and that gives them the reassurance to do what they want to do. But I work best, I think. But if I'm stand-up, I'm very well prepared. You know, I like to improvise on stage, but everything, I'll do a two-hour show, it's written, it's worded, it's scripted word for word.
You sound,
radio's different, I think.
You sound quite calm in the studio, though. You don't shout about potatoes and toothbrushes
much. No. It's a very different thing. It's just me on the radio. Or, you know, or they're all versions of you, aren't they? But I think stand-up, certainly for me, I'm much more of a persona, much more heightened, where, you know, on radio it's pretty close to just being yourself. It's for me, radio is being yourself, but with the sudden panic of not knowing what you're going to say, and there's thousands of people listening. That's the, you know...
Whereas you said there's a difference between BBC Radio 2, for instance, and BBC Wales.
Yeah, Radio 2's got a much, much bigger audience. It's a totally different beast, I think. You know, when you've got 5-8 million people, then they like to have it a little bit more controlled, a little bit more produced. They like to have a little bit more input. You know, whereas Radio Wales are very happy for me to just do what I want. I can choose the music, for example. You know, I don't choose the music on Radio 2. I wouldn't be able to, but I can on Radio Wales. So I guess Radio Wales, just because of the nature of it, you know, gives you freedom to play around. They're both. I'm not saying one's better than the other. I just think, you know.
Do Ben and Dave worry about working with somebody like Rod? So you're very improv as well?
It depends what radio show you're doing, who you're working with, and what they're comfortable doing. I think that's at the end of the day what it is. So some presenters, like Rod said, like to have everything scripted. Some people like to have bullet points so they know exactly what they're going to talk about, but they wouldn't necessarily script a story or know what's going to happen within that link, but they might know the punchline, for example. Some people like to have just everything free for all up in the air. So there's no point in panicking or worrying about it, because at the end of the day, you're going to be working with a presenter that does what is right for them and what's comfortable for them. I mean, I think, I don't know, the best radio for me, as like Rod, is always the stuff, you know, we plan stuff on our show. The best and most funny stuff and most entertaining stuff is always the stuff that you've never planned, and you just go off on a tangent and it's great. And that's the beauty of radio. You can do that. It's there for 1 second and then it's gone into the past. You can't do that on any other medium at all. It doesn't work on anything. It's live radio is the only time you can really do that. So actually, yeah, they're always the most entertaining bits, but some people can't sustain that for 2 hours, 3 hours. Some people can. So you just got to play to your strengths and know what works for you and what works for your audience.
And this is why I suppose you're talking about having a thrill, because you just can't do that sort of thing on television, for instance. That's planned to within an inch of its life, isn't it, usually?
Yeah, I think it varies on TV, doesn't it? The degree to which things are produced. There are some programmes which are, you know, quite well documented that they are produced within an inch of their life, and some aren't. But, I mean, certainly you can't. I've never experienced anything on television close to what I do on radio.
Well, I'm more of a writer, and nothing I do is live. But I agree, the stuff that comes out live is the funniest. So I do a podcast where all the interviews are basically improvised, but then I have the best of both worlds because then I go back and edit them, so you don't have any of that kind of the stuff where you're just
the crap stuff,
the crap stuff,
the umming and the erring,
the shit pipe.
Yeah,
I think you should do a new podcast called Shit Pipe.
The shit pipe. Yeah. Well, the thing I record interviews that are about 40 minutes long, and I edit them down to 8 minutes, which gives you a massively high hit rate.
Yeah.
But I do want to retain that kind of live thing, because otherwise, like you say, that's what radio's got going for it. Otherwise, you may as well be making telly where everything's controlled to an inch of its life. Or,
yeah, I think that's where the intimacy comes from, the ability just to have sort of a chat with your listener.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't exist anywhere else, basically.
And when I'm doing like pre-recorded programs for radio that are things like Ben's talking about, the most important thing for me is that it still sounds live, so someone can listen to an episode of that thing that you make and go... And never underestimate how much of an audience genuinely think the news quiz is live every week. They genuinely do. And you have to play to that, because if you're suddenly editing and chopping and doing that, you know, there's no point in cutting to gag, 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 gag. Because if it doesn't sound like a conversation, it doesn't sound like a fun, exciting thing that happened in a room, it's unlistenable.
And you've got the bonus of not having to worry about editing visuals as well.
Yeah.
In terms of comedy, how does visualization work for the kind of projects you do? Because that's such a big part of radio now, on the side, on social media.
I don't even think about it. I haven't given it a second thought. there probably are cameras around the place. I've got no idea.
You turn up in your pants.
Yeah, I literally haven't given it. I have no idea whether you can see me in my show.
I mean, Rod's often literally in his kitchen.
Yeah, I am often in my kitchen. There's no cameras here, I'm pretty sure.
You're in the kitchen.
Less BBC ways of putting. I do my show from my kitchen a lot.
Oh, really?
And less BBC have been in there, fitted cameras around the place. I'm pretty sure there's no visual. Apart from people passing through the window, there is no visual element. But I mean, I've done things on, on Radio 2 or wherever. I've never given a second thought to the fact that there's cameras.
A lot of the stuff I do is sort of written comedy, like sketch shows and that kind of thing. And weirdly, audio is very non-shareable on social media. Like, nobody ever retweets something that's just audio.
Yeah.
Like, never, ever, 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 ever. And I don't think anyone really knows why, but if you put a video on it, so we did a sketch show for Radio Wales, and they started making videos, and they just went, they were retweeted like 100 times or something. Whereas in the previous series, that was the second series, in the first series we just put out bits of audio, which literally nobody retweeted.
Yeah.
And it's because social media is like a visual medium, isn't it?
And totally.
So
completely.
It's worth trying to get radio into that somehow. But it's a challenge.
Whoever cracks that one, they're going to be making a lot of money.
Well, there's the Ricky Gervais and Stephen thing where they animated their thing. It's such a simple idea, and John Robbins and Ellis James on Radio X have started doing that with little clips of there, because no one's going to get to SoundCloud. No one does that. People are on YouTube. They just got people.
What have they started doing?
They've done a very financially economical thing of asking listeners to animate their favourite bit of the show. So they pick out like a 5 minute clip and then they animate it, and it's great. And you just literally in the same way, you just watch it, and it's creative and there's fun things to watch, but it's still it's just the radio content. It's hugely expensive if you're going to do that, which is why you get
probably not even watching it. You're probably still, when if you listen to it, just listening
completely.
To it, I imagine.
It's just the psychological thing. Yeah, exactly.
It's got you in.
Anything visualised. If you're visualising something from the radio, just never forget that the radio is a thing you're doing. Don't ever try and do a thing that you think will look good on the radio, because that's the wrong way around of doing it. If you think it'll translate to visuals in one way or another, that's great. Otherwise, make it completely separate.
But that adds a whole other layer as well, doesn't it? Because on the radio, you can't just pull a silly face in the hope that you'll get a last minute laugh out of that.
When Rod's on stage, that's mostly what he's doing.
We're going to depart now, but it's been a pleasure talking to you both. Dave has since departed. Thank you, Ben, and thank you, Rod.
Nice to meet you.
Have a good evening. Maybe see you at Demo Factor.
You too. Who knows?